Chapter 34. Solon dropped the two leather 500-weight bags he carried and grabbed Dorian as the prophet tottered. At first, he didn't understand what Dorian had said.
"What are you talking about?"
Dorian pushed Solon's steadying arm away. He put on his cloak and sword belt and picked up two pairs of manacles.
"This way," he said,
grabbing one of the bags from Solon and heading down the open road away from the wall. The land leading to the wall was rocky, barren ground. It had been cleared of trees out to 150 yards, and though the road was broad enough for 20 men abreast, it was rutted and pitted from the wear of many feet and wagons over ground that alternated between soil and solid rock.
"Kali is coming,"
Dorian said, before Solon could ask what was happening again.
"I gave up my prophetic gift in case she captures me."
Solon couldn't even answer. Dorian stopped beneath a black oak that grew on a rocky outcropping that hung over the road.
"She's here, not half a league away."
Dorian didn't even take his eyes off the tree.
"It'll have to do. Make sure you only step on rock. If they see tracks, they'll find me."
Solon didn't move. Dorian had finally gone crazy. The other times it had been obvious. He'd simply been catatonic. But now he seemed so rational.
"Come on, Dorian," Solon said. "Let's go back to the wall. We can talk about this in the morning."
"The wall won't be there in the morning. Kali will strike at the witching hour. That gives you 5 hours to get the men out of here."
Dorian hoisted himself up on the ledge.
"Throw the bags up to me."
"Kali, Dorian. She's a myth. You're trying to tell me that a goddess is half a league from here?"
"Not a goddess. Perhaps one of the rebel angels expelled from heaven and given leave to walk the earth until the end of days."
"Right. I suppose she's brought a dragon."
"We can talk about..." "Dragons avoid angels," Dorian said.
Disappointment etched his features.
"Are you going to abandon me now when I need you? Have I ever lied to you? You thought Curoc was a myth too, before we found it. I need you. When Kali comes through the wall, I'll go out of my mind. You've seen me when I thought I could use the veer for good. That was like 1 part wine and 10 parts water. This is pure liquor. I will be lost. Her very presence brings out the worst fears, the worst memories, the worst sins. My hubris will come out. I might try to fight her, and I'll lose, or my lust for power will break me, and I'll join her. She knows me. She will break me."
Solon couldn't take the look in Dorian's eyes.
"What if you're wrong? What if it is the madness you've warned about for so long? If the wall stands at dawn, you'll know."
Solon threw the bags up to Dorian and then climbed carefully up the rock, making sure he didn't leave so much as a footprint.
"What are you doing?"
he asked, as Dorian smiled at him and poured the gold onto the ground. Next, Dorian pulled on the manacles, and the iron chains holding them together tore apart as if they were made of paper. He dropped a manacle onto the pile of coins, and it fell into the coins as if they were liquid. The other 3 manacles followed, and the piles of coins shrank each time. Dorian reached through the gold and pulled out each of the manacles, now sheathed in gold, and placed 1 on each of his wrists. He stretched the iron of the 2nd pair and locked those manacles around his thighs, just above the knee. It was amazing. Dorian had always said that his power with the veer had dwarfed his talent, yet here he was, molding gold and iron artfully and effortlessly. In another moment, Dorian had shaped the rest of the coins into 4 narrow spikes and what looked like a bowl. He stopped, and now he concentrated. Solon could feel the brush of spells flowing past him, sinking into the metal. After 2 minutes, Dorian stopped and spoke under his breath to the black oak.
There will be a contingent with her. The soul sworn,
Dorian said.
They've given up much of what it is to be human to serve Carly, but they aren't the danger. She is. Solon, I don't think you can defeat her. I think you should take the men away from here. Take them somewhere where their deaths might accomplish something. But if she makes it to Sanaria, Garoth or Sul's sons will make two Ferali. They will use them on the resistance. This I have seen.
You didn't really do it, did you? You didn't really destroy your gift,
Solon said.
If I don't see you again, my friend, may the god go with you,
Dorian said. He fused the gold spikes to the manacles and knelt behind the tree. He slid the spikes into the wood with unnatural ease. His hands were set high and far apart. As he knelt there, obviously ready to pray his way through whatever ordeal he thought was coming, Solon felt a stab of envy. This time, it wasn't for Dorian's power or Dorian's lineage or Dorian's simple, humble integrity. He envied Dorian's certainty. Dorian's world was very clear. To him, Kali wasn't a goddess or a figment of the Caladoran's imagination, or just an ancient monster who'd conned the Caladoran people into worshipping her. She was an angel who'd been expelled from heaven. In Dorian's world, everything had a place. There was a hierarchy. Things fit. Even a man with Dorian's vast powers could be humble, because he knew others were far above him, even if he never met one of them. Dorian could name evil without fear and without rancor. He could claim that some did evil or served it without hating them. Solon had never known anyone like that, except perhaps Count Drake. Whatever happened to him? Did he die in the coup?
What does all this do?
Solon asked, picking up what had been a gold bowl. Now it was something between a helmet and a mask. It would fit completely over Dorian's head, with only two small holes in the nose for breathing. He turned it over. It was a perfect sculpture of Dorian's face, weeping tears of gold.
It will keep me from seeing her, from hearing her, from shouting out to her, from moving from this place. It will keep me from indulging in the last temptation, believing myself strong enough to fight her. I hope it will also keep me from using the veer. But I can't bind myself magically. I need you to do it for me. After she's passed, I'll be able to escape when the sun rises and refills my talent, so you needn't worry for me. If you need your gold, it will be here.
You're leaving no matter what.
Dorian smiled.
Don't ask where.
Good luck,
Solon said. There was a lump in his throat that reminded him of how good it had felt not to be alone again. Even fighting with Dorian and Fir had been better than peace without them.
You've been a brother to me, Solon. I believe we'll meet again before this is done, Dorian said. Now, hurry!
Solon fit the gold helmet over Dorian's head and bound it with the strongest magic he could, completely emptying his Glorvurden to do it. He'd do no more magic until sunrise. It wasn't a comforting thought. As he climbed down from the rock outcropping, he swore that he saw bark growing over Dorian's arms where they otherwise would have been exposed. From the road, Dorian was invisible.
Goodbye, brother,
Solon said. Then he turned and strode toward the wall. Now he just had to convince Leros Vas that he wasn't stark raving mad.